From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the third day of September 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago will join us to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. Mike's been watching the planet as well, and he said, hey, you know what? It's dry in a lot of places. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll discuss the agricultural cash grain situation with Matt Bennett at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Even though Mike says it's dry, you might think about making some cash sales. We'll do all of that right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today finished 5 1/4 cents lower at $3.44 1/2. December 3.53 3/4 down a nickel. March 4 1/2 lower at 3.64 3/4. And July corn at 3.76 down 3 1/2 cents. September beans up 6 1/4 at 9.68 3/4. November at 9.66 up 4. January 4 higher at 9.72 1/4, and July soybeans at 9.76 3/4, 2 3/4 higher. Bean oil futures down 20 cents in the lead September at 33.47. Bean meal 2.90 higher at 305.20. Wheat futures for the soft red July down 6 cents at 5.63 1/2, and the hard red down 4. It finished at $4.99 a bushel. Live cattle futures October contract 55 cents lower at $103.92 1/2 per 100 pounds. Feeder cattle were down $1.10 at $137.60, and lean hogs in the lead option October at $2.85 higher, $59.25, the settlement price and trade. Crude oil futures down 22 cents a barrel, ethanol unchanged. Heating oil or diesel fuel about 2.5 cents lower. Gasoline is down 0.2 cents. Trade there at $1.19 9/10 cents per gallon, and the Dow's down 854 points. The U.S. dollar also lower, down 0.07. It's at 92.76, and gold futures down $6.60 at $1,927.80. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at this marketplace and talk about what's been happening. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Tell me a little bit about your quick assessment of trade over the last week or so.
Well, I think since we kind of made our short-term top here a few days ago, it's been basically in consolidation, what I would call taking a breather. The technical indicators all got to a point where one would kind of consider them in an overbought technical condition. And when that occurs, that usually encourages a lot of people to take some long profit taking. It encourages people to hold off on any additional buying. And that has a tendency to either have consolidation where you kind of chop around sideways for a while and or have a correction. And I think when I talked to you last week, the market was also in a very highly overbought situation, and it was ripe for some kind of period of consolidation. And that's what I would consider where we're at. And also, I think going into a three-day weekend kind of encourages that. A lot of people just like to clear their decks going into a three-day weekend, because a lot of times things can happen, not only domestically, but internationally. And it's just an extra day of weather events, political events, whatever that could occur that could negatively impact your position. So a lot of traders will just kind of square the books and then take a look at it Tuesday morning, whether or not they want to reestablish that position or not. Now, the thing that we got to be real careful of in here, and I've said this once, I've said it a million times, is September is very much a dominantly downward seasonal month. It is very rare for commodity prices to rally during September. Now, you know, every once in a while, once in 10 years or 1.5 or 2 years out of 20 or 3 years out of 20, the market will will rally. And that's yet to be determined. So far, what I like about what I've seen so far is that we ended the month on the high, and the price action here during the month of September, even though it's a few days, just a few days here, has been inside the August range. So at least we don't have any monthly reversal to the downsides in the making on corn and soybeans. So it does indicate more of a consolidation phase rather than maybe a short-term top and maybe a downward seasonal pattern for September. But we'll know more about next week. I do know that some of the combines are starting to roll. I'm hearing the beans are starting to go more so than corn, but we're still probably a couple weeks away from anything significant. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what kind of yields come in. And then, of course, you know, won't be too long after we get through the Labor Day weekend that we'll be looking at another stocks report. Or I mean a crop report, but I mean when you look at crop rating levels and all, and actually weather patterns, it does imply that the crop is getting shorter. And when the crop gets shorter, it's hard to make it go down. And then when you look at even today's export sales, even though they were pretty much expected, very strong. So we do have decent demand underneath the market, at least as far as the export front goes. And the crop is, for the most part, kind of maybe getting a little smaller. So that spells good anyway for the market, at least holding together, at least in the short run.
Hey, can you bring up the monthly continuation chart for soybeans? Because if I'm not mistaken, September of last year was one of those oddball years and things were counter-seasonal. So that it was an outside up month. And I don't know whether that really means anything very much to you as we look at from one season to the other. But I just had made note of it as you were talking to me. And I also made note that we've already made a higher high this month for September than we have made for August, right?
On the lead futures. Now, I use futures as soon as that contract goes into expiration, like this September contract, I start using the next contract. So my lead futures contract now is using the October futures. And that same way with my lead futures December futures, or my just lead futures is using the month of December now, since the September contracts are in expiration. Now, if I go back, let's see here, you say last August.
On the monthly continuation.
Okay. Yes, we did have last year we did have a higher month in beans, and then it popped higher into October. No, November. November went down. December went back up again. And that was kind of the time to sell it, was that December, early January time frame, because then we went down all the way into April.
Anything else we should discuss for the day?
I guess I'm pretty much in the camp I've been in all year, is that one needs to pay attention to the market. You need to watch it, maybe not day by day, but you at least need to kind of see what's going on week by week. I know everybody's going to start getting busy here. But I do think this fall rally, whether it's the first part of September here or the end of September or the end of December, I do think the next 3 months here are going to be some of the better pricing opportunities than what we're going to see during the first 3 months of 21. So with that in mind, I know you can drive 10 semis through that window. That's what I would be watching for. And I'm more inclined to kind of, you know, give this market a little more time in here. I want to see a USDA report. I kind of want to hear some yields coming out of the field. And then I kind of want to see if this demand structure, you know, kind of holds together. So I'm generally positive here that this market can maybe put together a counter seasonal rally, might take us into, you know, end of October, first part of November. There's another observation. It's not an exact observation, but I have noticed over the years that after elections, markets have a tendency to fall apart, and that regardless of who wins or who loses. It's just that sometimes the markets kind of hold together in front of election, thinking that there might be some kind of political move to be supportive to the markets. And then once the election is over with, there's no incentive to hold the market together. So, you know, be awful careful holding inventory past the election, regardless who wins. At least that's been an observation that I've noticed over my 40-some years watching the markets.
Hey, thank you so much, and you have a great week.
Same to you, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org. Just click and play from the website, or if you'd prefer, look us up in your favorite podcast applications. On this Thursday, we're joined by Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us. Let's start right in on this with the Corn Belt weather. Folks have been awfully concerned about the dry conditions, certainly across parts of Iowa, a large part of Iowa, and how that has spread into other areas of the Corn Belt. Can you give me your update and what the rainfall we did get looked like and how much help you might think it could have been?
Well, the big story is that August was the 27th driest of the last 125 years in the Corn Belt, and that includes the seven states essentially extending from Nebraska through Iowa, Illinois, and then on to the east. So it was pretty dry, and not only that, it was the driest since 2013, so it's been 7 years since we went through anything quite like this in the month of August. And with August being the most important month for soybeans, it wasn't exactly what they would have liked to have seen. So now we're sitting here in early September, and rain could still be beneficial to some areas. But the problem is that as you look outside, it's not raining anywhere. It's actually pretty dry still, and there's no rain on the horizon until we get into Saturday night and Sunday. At that time, we'll see a pretty large thunderstorm cluster form in eastern Iowa, northern Illinois, and Wisconsin. And that will include some of the driest areas of the central United States. But then the question becomes, is this rainfall well-timed? Well, clearly it would have been much more beneficial several weeks ago. So that debate is always going to continue regardless of what happens this coming weekend. Once we get beyond the weekend, a much larger system moves through. They'll produce fairly widespread rainfall across the central U.S. from Tuesday through Thursday. So when I talk to you a week from now, we'll be talking about how a lot of different areas saw some decent rainfall. And then again, it will come down to that question of, was the rainfall well-timed? I mean, the answer is definitely no, but there still could be some benefit from that. And that will be the big question and the big uncertainty going into the USDA report at the end of next week. And then the much more important one come October.
Yeah, uncertainty here in the United States, and uncertainty remains in other growing regions of the planet as well. For instance, parts of Europe, going into Eurasia, Ukraine, Russia have also been dry. That's been difficult for both, I think, the corn crop there. And you suggested to me sunflowers, which I think is right. And wheat, which has already been harvested, will be put in the ground again here pretty soon.
Well, I remember talking out loud about 10, 12 years ago. I don't remember the exact year, but it was more than 10 years ago. And looking around the globe and seeing dryness in different key areas of the world and thinking to myself, wow, this is pretty amazing to see all these key areas of the world all having similar types of problems with droughts going on back at that time. Now, it's been the opposite problem for a while, with most areas having been wet. It's almost been comical to see how much rain has fallen in different areas of the world, with the only real exceptions having been in parts of Australia with some bad wheat crops in recent years, and then a drought here, a couple of droughts in South America. But as we sit today, the story is a lot different than what it has been like, because it's been very dry in Ukraine and Russia. That's affected their corn and sunflower crops. To what extent, we'll find out here over the next couple of weeks as harvest begins. But the other concern regards wheat planting. Yes, it's a little early to be overly concerned about the winter wheat crops, but keep in mind that they plant now, and then they go into dormancy at the end of October and into November. It's been very dry over the last 2 to 3 months. There's very little to no rain on the horizon all the way through the middle of September, and they're planting now. So this is a story that may well come up later on, because if we have weak establishment in the fall, a lot of the time that results in reduced planted area. So that's something that we need to think about. We're also having a similar type of problem in Argentina and Australia, where it's been pretty dry here for a while, especially in Argentina. Right now, the wheat crops in both Argentina and Australia are jointing, with the heading phases about to begin in Australia and still about 3 to 6 weeks out in Argentina, but there's not much rain on the horizon for either of these locations, and that will also be a wheat story for them as well. And also in Argentina, they're planting sunflowers now. It's been very, very dry in the northern sunflower areas, and if we don't start to see some pretty good rain soon, that's going to become a factor. So we're dealing with droughts in Ukraine, Russia, Argentina, Australia, and even though the European Union has been a lot wetter as of the last 3 to 5 weeks, it's still been pretty dry in Bulgaria and in France, and those are some of your key corn and wheat export countries. So there's a lot of different things going on from a weather standpoint in agricultural areas of the world, and it's just going to take a little bit of time to see how all this works out. But the point is that this is not the same as what we've been looking at in years past, where it's been raining, it's been wet, it's been pretty ideal. That's just not where we sit right now, and how all this pans out, it's going to take a little bit of time, but we're certainly watching each one of these.
Hey, thank you so much, and we'll check in with you again next week to see if things have changed or continue down this path. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great being here, Todd, and we'll talk next week about it all.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joined us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand. Just click and play right at willag.org, willag.org. Matt Bennett is now here. He's with agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. And will join us to talk about the cash grain situation. How are things on the farm today, Matt?
You know, not a whole lot going on just yet. We've got the equipment ready to go and just kind of waiting and seeing what's going to happen here. Wondering if there's going to be some drying deals potentially. Obviously, basis has been pretty strong here, especially for folks to get it in here by the end of the week. They didn't get a whole lot of corn. I'm assuming there'll be some drying deals next week, maybe to coax some guys to get out there and get some of this early corn.
Yeah, the corn has been drying down quickly, along with the weather, which was really dry for the month of August. Will producers, you think, be enticed to go early?
Well, I think that if you're in a situation, you know, where you can get a drying deal, I think that there'll be some guys that'll run early. I know that we're going to, if we could get the right situation. We've got some decent grain sold, so I'm not saying that we should just give money away by any means, but I definitely don't want to pay the full rate for drying, especially if I'm up around 23 to 25%. I just don't think I'll be able to get anything under there. April 6th and 7th planted corn, you know, for the most part for us, we sprayed fungicide, so it's kind of hanging on there. Bottom line, by the end of next weekend, it'd be a stretch to get it, in the low 20s by any means. So we're going to need a drying deal, and if we get it, we're going to get out in the field and go.
You know, lots of folks are beginning to feel like the dryness that we had in the month of August, along with the derecho, that big storm of wind that came through a large part of Iowa, through a smaller part of northern Illinois, has had an impact on yield. USDA will put its objective yields into play on Friday the 11th, so not this Friday, but the following one. Do you think that they could drop the corn crop very much in total size?
In total size, yes. I think that, when it gets right down to it, you got to ask yourself a question. You know, was 181.8 high enough as of September 1st? You know, and if it wasn't, and it was a little higher than that, then you drop 3 bushel and maybe you only get down to 179. I don't know. Our official estimate with Ag Market's 179. I could see that dipping a little bit more, but as far as total crop size is concerned, you know, I've got to think, obviously, we've lost some harvestable acres. That's a poorly kept secret there. As far as yield's concerned, August did nothing, you know, to help corn yield. So a lot of this is going to have to do with the fact that they were not in the fields last month. They are in the fields this month. They're going to learn more. There's a whole lot of things that could happen as far as a surprise factor goes next Friday. My gut tells me that we're probably under a 180 crop when it's all said and done. But again, I'm not going to be too surprised by anything other than maybe them raising the yield. I just don't see it happening.
Is the soybean crop still a monster like you thought it was earlier in the year?
You know, the soybean crop, the thing is, as we know, it's an August crop. Beans are an August crop, and August wasn't good. August was, you know, definitely 2020's version of August. And so, you know, we didn't get a whole lot of rain. Most producers are sitting here as of the 1st of August thinking this is going to be their biggest bean crop ever. You know, across the Corn Belt, we heard that over and over and over. So at this stage of the game, the way I'll explain it is I thought 53.3 wasn't maybe even reflective of what we could be. As far as this last report's estimate was concerned. But at this stage of the game, I've got to think that we're definitely below 53.3. And so I've got to think that this report next Friday is going to come in probably closer to 50 than what it would 55. And so, you know, I'm probably going to be in that 51.5 range. That's about where we're at for Ag Market. And I think that that's probably, you know, about where I feel comfortable for the time being.
One final question. I take it that you want farmers to continue to play defense on this marketplace, meaning as this market has rallied, you're playing defense and making sales on the way, not looking for the long ball pass.
No, you try to hit a home run, we're going to strike out most of the time. And so, you know, looking at soybeans, you're at 963. As we talk here, if you'd have told most people August 1st you're going to see November beans there, they'd have said you're crazy, here on the 3rd of September. But my point of view is that if you can make really good money at these price levels, and you should in Central Illinois be able to, man, I want to get them sold. As far as corn's concerned, yeah, I think in Central Illinois we've got above APH yield, so I'm a little more willing to maybe reward the market with a sale or two. If I can get a push, maybe, and maybe a drying deal, but I'm not super excited about it just yet. I kind of want to see how this plays out, you know, and get farther into the marketing year before I get terribly aggressive.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. He helps us to wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.